Hello, I'm Liz Curtis-Higgs. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Word by Word. When a son marries, parents don't usually get to choose their daughter-in-law. Maybe that's why 3,000 years ago, the mother of King Lemuel wisely made a checklist for her royal son, who very wisely wrote it down in a chapter of the Bible we call Proverbs 31. Welcome to Word by Word with Liz Curtis-Higgs. Each weekend here in the Faith Radio Network, you and I look at different biblical characters. Now, today is the second part of our study. There was just so much. We had to do two on the women of Proverbs 31. Yeah, that's right. Plural. The women of Proverbs 31. Last time, we covered the first half of this biblical record, laying out the best of womanhood, as shown us in Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 20. Why do I say the best of womanhood? Because Proverbs 31 is describing not just one woman, but the attributes of many godly women. So one of them might describe you, or another verse might describe your mom or your best friend. Let's take a look at the balance of Proverbs 31 and see what it has to teach us today. Starting then with verse 21. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. This verse kind of leaves me out in the cold. Pun very much intended. It's also translated, she has no fear of winter for her household. So let me get this straight. She's fearless about her family being out in the snow because they're all dressed in red and she won't lose them against the white backdrop? Okay, not quite. Scarlet is another word for the best cloth, a doubly thick cloth. So it has more to do with the texture even really than the color. So what it's saying here is her family has warm clothing. Another translation, they are clothed with double clothes. In a nutshell, this woman sends her family out well-dressed. Now, by that, we do not mean expensive, fashionable, all of that. We're simply saying they're covered from head to toe. They are well taken care of. Nobody sees her family and says, well, the poor souls must be freezing. She has them well-dressed, warmly dressed. And not only is her family well-dressed, so is her house. Verse 22 says, she makes coverings for her bed. Also translated, she makes her own quilts. That's the CJB. Now, can I just jump in here and make a comment about quilting? I love quilts. I have them all over our old farmhouse. Love quilts. So I thought I'd take a quilting class. Makes sense, right? Except I am so not crafty. So I took a 6-week quilting class for 1 hour. At the end of the hour, I gave the guy back all the little templates and the fabric, and I said, look, I don't want my money back. I just want out. So that was the end of my quilting experience. Yeah, so I don't quilt. And you know what? If you don't either, if you do not make coverings for your bed, it's okay. The last thing we want to do is try and do all of the things listed in Proverbs 31. That is not what God is calling us to. It is simply an honoring of each of these qualities of womanhood. It's saying we can do lots of different things. So she makes coverings for her bed, also translated coverlets, cushions, rugs of tapestry, or ornamental coverings she hath made. The fact is, the girl is good with her hands. This one is, anyway, this woman we're describing. Now, so her family's well-dressed, so is her house. The verse continues, she is clothed in fine linen and purple. Fine linen, the fabric used for priests, often imported from Egypt, and purple, the color of royalty. So this verse is also translated a purple gown of exquisite linen or expensive material. Let's face it, some women just have a beautiful sense of style. That's the kind of woman we're describing here. Not all of us are seamstresses or designers or even can sew a straight line. Sew a straight line? We're back to the snow in verse 21. Look, if you do these things, that's fantastic. Good for you. But if you simply make sure your family and you get out the door well covered, you got it covered. It's good. It's good. This teaching is never meant to compare or contrast women's talents. All talents from God are good talents. Verse 23, her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. Ooh, this makes me think of our Boaz who took his seat at the city gates. This verse is also translated, her husband's a respected member of the city council. He's well known, one of the leading citizens. He's honorable and well regarded at the city gates. Yeah, we got it. You'll remember the city gates are where the business of government or society was conducted in that time and place. What did his prominence there have to do with her? Oh, everything, as you well know. Behind every strong man is a strong woman supporting, encouraging, and advising him. And if I may say, behind every strong woman is also a strong man supporting, encouraging, and advising her. I mean, that's how it works at our house, and it works well. If it's all about honoring God, it works well. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. So she's got this cottage industry going, kind of a work-at-home mom. And she sells the garments herself. So that's the distinction here. She makes these linen garments, just like she makes for herself and her family, and she sells them. Then the verse goes on, and she supplies the merchants with sashes. So the merchants that go about are selling her sashes for her, far beyond her own city gates, as it were. I love the King James on this. She delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Oh, yeah. If you go back far enough, you remember the kind of girdles we knew. These are belts or sashes. So this woman is like many women we know today who have their own online businesses, making crafts or jewelry or clothing or art and selling it all over the world online. They're putting it in the hands of the merchants. That's what we're talking about here. I must confess, verse 25 is my favorite in Proverbs 31. In fact, one of my favorite in the whole of God's Word. It says she is clothed with strength and dignity. The strength in the Hebrew means mighty fortress, powerful stronghold, which certainly sounds like the Lord to me. And dignity also in the Hebrew means honor, majesty, splendor, and beauty, which also sounds like the Lord. In other words, this woman is dressed for spiritual success. She's also translated, she is clothed with strength and honor. Bold power and glorious majesty are wrapped all around her. Ooh, I love that. Her position is strong and secure, the Amplified says. So, yeah, we're still talking about her wardrobe, but at a whole different level. Galatians 3:27 says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." In other words, it's what people see first. When people look at me, I don't want them to say, "Wow, great dress, nice shoes, cool purse." What we want people to say is, "Now there goes a godly woman." Because of her strength in him and her dignity in him, she is dressed right, as it were. What people see first is God. And verse 25 continues, she can laugh at the days to come. Laugh in the Hebrew literally means to celebrate and make merry. She shall rejoice in time to come. She'll be cheerful about the future. Wow. That's a statement right there, because most of us look at the future and it looks a little scary. Of course, some of us long for it, and that's not what they're calling for here. You know, we live in this, oh, someday life will be better. No, that's not what smiling at the future means. We also don't want to dread the future. Well, things are only going to get worse. All this woman is doing is smiling at it. She's simply saying, I'm ready. She is unafraid of loss or death or aging or suffering. She looks to the future with confidence, the ERV says. She looks forward to the future with joy, says the EXB. We shall laugh on the last day as she did on the first day. Oh, I love that, the Wycliffe translation. And let me rephrase it for you because I got one word wrong. She shall laugh on the last day as she did on this day. See, it's so important to me to get the Word of God right. I'm happy to look the fool and back up to make sure you're hearing it correctly. So that's our woman, smiling at the future, not living in it, not running from it. She's just smiling at it because she is dressed in the strength, honor, and dignity of God. See why I love that verse. Verse 26, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Some of the earlier verses we looked at in our last time focused on her hands, how she used her hands to be generous, to spin and to weave and to so forth. But let's be honest, this is the part of our body that we use the most, our mouth. She speaks with wisdom. How often do we open our mouth not to speak with wisdom, but to criticize or gossip or make a catty remark or, heaven forbid, praise ourselves or speak in anger or say, I don't love you with some unkind comment? This is not how it's meant to be, beloved. When she opens her mouth, she speaks wisely, the CJB says. On her tongue is a law of kindness, giving counsel and instruction, the Amplified says. On her tongue is the law of grace. When she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say. Kindness is the rule for everything she says, and she teaches others to be loving and kind. Who are we talking about? Who are the others? Well, everybody. Her family, her friends, anybody within earshot. When this woman opens her mouth, they are hearing something worthwhile. Wow. For somebody like me that does speak, actually as a ministry, as a living, it's what I do, this verse is such a challenge. We have to ask ourselves every time we open our mouths, is what I am saying kind, loving, wise? Is faithful instruction on my tongue? Oh, may it be so, Lord. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs. Today we're spending time with the women of, that's right, plural, the women of Proverbs 31. Think of it as a checklist for a king in search of a queen. And as I've mentioned earlier, it doesn't describe one woman, but rather the different kinds of women who are worth more than rubies, who are in fact priceless. You can listen to this from the beginning via podcast anytime, myfaithradio.com, lizcurtishiggs.com, both those places you'll find the podcasts. And though I don't have a book available for the women of Proverbs 31, I have prepared a Bible study guide for you. You'll also find that on Faith Radio's website and on mine too. Okay, we've got five verses left. Verse 27, she watches over the affairs of her household. She watches over them. Also translated, she directs the activities of her household. She carefully watches everything. She oversees the care of her house. Yes, indeed, very wise. What I want you to hear, though, is it doesn't say she does everything in her household. So those people that live with you, you certainly have my permission and God's permission to motivate them to help. Nowhere is the woman expected to do everything. Don't read that into this verse. She looks over, directs, oversees. She makes sure it gets done. But that might mean the people who live with her. It might mean hiring outside help. And can I just say, if you're single, one of the ways to deal with the drudgery of cleaning your house, there's no getting around it. It's not fun. Finished product is great, but getting there, not so much fun. One way to do it as a single woman, or for that matter, if you've got a husband and children and whatever, is to do it with a friend. So one week you clean her house together, and the next week you clean your house together. First of all, the fellowship is fabulous. Second of all, it's a whole lot more fun when you're doing it with somebody. And I will say, you really get to know somebody when you have scrubbed their sink. So just a thought. We just have to oversee it. We don't have to do it. The verse continues, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. As if a wife and mother would ever have time to be idle. Are you kidding? It's also translated, she is always busy. Yes, she is. She never wastes her time. She is never lazy. I love this. The bread of sloth she eateth not. Wow, bread of sloth. Sounds disgusting. Oh, but the Amplified helps us understand what's really being said here. She doesn't indulge in gossip, discontent, or self-pity. Jean Fleming wrote in her diary, "What bothers me about being a mother? Don't judge, just listen to what she says. See if any of these ring true. 5 things. 1, the demands on my time. Well, yeah. 2, serving them over and over and over and over. Okay. 3, never finishing my work. Guaranteed. 4, the frustration of not knowing how to handle problems. Yeah. And 5, no time for my interests." It's an honest list. I mean, we get it. So how do you work through it? How do you not see the negatives and instead see the positives? Colossians 3:23-24 is always my go-to. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Ah, this works for me as a mom, as a wife, as a speaker, as a writer, as a friend. Anything that you do for the good of others, if you think of serving the people you love, I mean, that's a good thing. But if you can think of serving Christ, it becomes a God thing. And the hard parts and the less than exciting parts and the boring parts suddenly become necessary parts when you're working as unto the Lord. Verse 28. Oh, this is the one we hear every Mother's Day. "Her children arise and call her blessed," or blessed if you prefer. "Happy and prosperous and to be admired," the Amplified says. "Her children speak well of her, rise up and honor her, stand and bless her." Wow. How often does that happen? And like, when is it going to happen? Well, as I said, Mother's Day is the one guarantee. Though, honestly, as we rise up in years, I think you'll find it happens far more often. You already know this. When they're little, they do rise up and bless you because they're so adorable. "Hi, Mom. Love you, Mom. You're the best, Mom." Right? All that. Then there's that middle stretch. Different ages for every kid, but there is a stretch when they don't rise up and bless you. They just forget. Some do, though. I know you're going to say, "But mine do." Fabulous. But for many of us, we just had to accept that there was a stretch there that was hard. And then, and it might take until they have kids of their own, the day comes when they do rise up and bless you. Not always with their words, even with how they're living blesses you. And her husband also, the Bible goes on to say, and he praises her. He brags about her. He joins in with words of praise. This man is so smart. Because it's amazing how one word of encouragement can carry us a long time. Verse 29, here's what he says. "Many women do noble things. Many daughters have done virtuously. Many women have done wonderful things. Many women are capable." The Living Bible says there are many fine women in the world. But, and you know how I love "but" in the Bible. My favorite little three-letter word, carries a lot of power. "But you surpass them all." The CEV says, simply, you're the best. "Only you are truly excellent. You have ascended above them all." It's a little intense, but we do appreciate the sentiment that a man would say, lots of great women out there, but you're the best. Now, I got to tell you a true and slightly sad story. I'm the youngest of 6. So by the time my mother had me, I think it's safe to say she was tired of being a mother. She's gone now, 40 years gone. Last day I saw her alive was Mother's Day 40 years ago. And Mom always told me, don't marry, don't have kids, do something useful with your life. That's heartbreaking for me to think of now, but it is a fact. It's what she said, don't marry, don't have kids. So I didn't. For the first 30 years of my life, I didn't marry or have kids, with this lingering thought that somehow that wasn't a good investment of my time or energy. Then I read Elizabeth Elliot's Let Me Be a Woman. Now, I had been through the whole feminist piece of the 70s, all of that, and so I loved being a woman, but I didn't really grasp the power of being a wife and mother. So I read this book, and it changed my mind, and then it changed my heart. And the timing, of course, was exquisite because it was God's. because I met the man I would marry less than a year after reading that book. And I gave him my copy with all of my notes in it, hoping that he might see this growth, this transition from being a woman who was not interested in being a wife and mother to a woman who said, "Whatever you have for me, Lord, I'm ready." Well, he did ask me to marry him, and I did say yes, and that was 32 plus years ago, and man, am I grateful. Verse 30, charm is deceptive. Also translated, pleasing ways lie. Oh boy, do they. Charm can mislead. Charm can fool you. It's interesting because we think of charming as a good thing, but not if it's deceptive. The Hebrew here says showing favor for your own gain. Ah, we've all seen that one come down. Maybe, if we're really honest, have even done it ourselves, when you've been extra charming because of what you were going to get out of it. Well, the Hebrew calls that a falsehood, a disappointment. Literally, it's a molten image. It's an imitation. It's something that's going to melt down and not be real. So that's what charm is. Charm is deceptive. And beauty is fleeting. No kidding. Beauty can vanish, the CJB says. It can trick you. It comes to nothing. The voice says physical beauty will not last. And I love that distinction. Physical beauty will not last. Because we know that the beauty inside us will last forever. But that physical beauty, the Hebrew says, it's a vapor. It's a breath. It's gone. But, ooh, another fabulous but in the Bible, a woman who fears the Lord. So in contrast to the charming woman depending on her beauty, a woman who fears the Lord, also translated who honors the Lord, who fears and reverences God, reverently worshiping, obeying, serving, and trusting him with awe-filled respect. Isn't that delicious? The Amplified hits it every time. Is to be praised. By whom? Well, by her husband and her children and her household and her community, but really by the Lord himself. One scholar paraphrased this, "Keep your praise for a wife with brains." My personal favorite. Yeah, save your praise for the kind of woman who doesn't depend on her charm and doesn't depend on her looks, but does depend on her relationship with the Lord. And that relationship is based on reverence. That's really what fear means, not to be afraid of, scared of. Worshiping him, obeying, serving, trusting with awe-filled respect. She's the one to be praised. And I got to say, at every memorial service I have ever been to, that's what a woman is praised for. Who she was in her family, in her community, in her church, what she did for others, and most of all, for how she honored God. In the end, my sisters, it's all that matters. This body we spend so much time worrying about, once it's dropped into that pine box, my friend, it has no value at all. But what we will be praised for, and of course that praise goes to God, is for our relationship with him and how we honored him every day of our lives. So verse 31 says, honor her for all that her hands have done. Let her share in the results of her work, another translation says. Give her the reward of her labor. Give her a share in the fruit of her hands. Give her credit for what she has accomplished. The message just says, give her everything she deserves. So that might be honor, might also be financial reward, could be a promotion or a commendation. The main thing is that what she does is recognized. Sometimes it's applause, and sometimes it's a paycheck. Sometimes it's a pat in the back, and sometimes it's a hug. But the main thing is that for this woman, that her work not go unseen. And that's up to us. We have to look at the women around us who are doing the work of God and sing her praises. In fact, that's how the verse ends. Let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Praise her in public for what she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Let everything she has done bring praise to her at the city gate. Or the Message puts it, festoon. Isn't that a great word? Festoon her life with praises. Well, it took two shows to capture all the best qualities of womanhood as we considered the many women of Proverbs 31. I hope it's given you a new way of looking at her, a new way of thinking about her. In fact, a new way of thinking about them. It's my hope that you are never again intimidated, discouraged, or overwhelmed by Proverbs 31. Because it's meant to set us free to be the women God created us to be. It's meant to help men see what godly women look like. Why isn't there a Proverbs 32 for the guys? Because if a man sets his sights on this kind of woman, they'll become the men worthy of her, and God's kingdom will be well served. You've been listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs. Thanks for listening to Word by Word. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. Why not share this audio link with a friend? And take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player so you never miss an edition of Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs.